The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, what a privilege that I get to speak to you twice in 1 week.
Twice in 1 week. Hello, Kathy. Chanukah Sameach to everybody. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you. Anthony, let's get straight into the news that we don't run out of time. The first significant rainfall of the winter has caused significant flooding in many parts of Israel. So I spoke to my daughter this morning and she was saying, well, these Israelis are crazy. She said, we're just having like a normal heavy rain and everybody's like, oh, look at the big storm and look at the big rain and this is thunder. She says, they've never lived in Gauteng. They have no idea what thunder really is.
I mean, there has been a lot of thunder and lightning, and I agree with you that there are times when Israelis do seem to exaggerate where weather is concerned, particularly when, you know, people get their winter coats out when it's like 15 or 20 degrees outside, because, you know, that's like really cold by Israeli standards. And I suppose compared to the 35, 40, 45 degrees in the summer, you can be forgiven for feeling that 20 degrees is kind of cool. But I don't know where your daughter was this morning, but there was a lot of rain going on. And I actually had a river run through my shoes this morning, so I can absolutely vouch for it. I mean, when I say river, I mean a river that was running down the what was once a road just before that. But there were some quite serious incidents. I mean, there was a situation in Rehovot where there were 50 kids that were rescued from a flooded kindergarten. Rubber dinghies were used in order to try to rescue the kids. There was 20 millimeters of rain in 1 hour measured in Khadera. So I don't know how that compares to your Gauteng comparison, but I think that's quite a lot of rain. So a number of places around Israel had their fair share of rain. The Sharon area, or maybe the Sharon area, like some people like to call it, the Sharon area, which is Ranana, Herzliya, Hoda Sharon up to Netanya, had a lot of rain. I know just in Ranana today, I think we had something like 14 millimeters in 1 hour. And just back to where they were measuring in Khadera, Khadera had 40 millimeters of rain before 8 o'clock this morning, just overnight. So I think that's a fair,
that's a fair
downfall by anybody's standards.
How does it compare year on year, Anthony? I mean, are you used to having this much rain in winter?
Not really. I mean, Israel's had successive winters with very little rain. As you know, we got, I think, 5 or 6 consecutive years with below average rainfalls, where average is still not enough to feed the people of Israel their water needs. So, yeah, I mean, we're not used to having a lot of rainfall. But one thing about Israel is that either it doesn't rain or it does rain, and there's very little in between. Once it starts to rain, it really, really opens up in the heavens, open, and we get a lot of rain, as was the case overnight and earlier today. So we are happy with the rain because we desperately need the rain. It would be nice if it didn't come with damage and rescues and endangering people's lives and people's property. But we definitely need the water. And even though people say, well, it's not good to have so much rain so quickly because a lot of it runs away and therefore gets wasted, that's not the case in Israel, because something like 80% of the water that runs down the drain actually is captured and recycled for other uses, whether it be agricultural use or industrial use, or even cleaned up enough so that it can be recycled back in for a domestic use. So Israel really is one of the countries around the world where we really do manage to catch as much water as possible that runs down the drains, whether it be the domestic drain or whether it be the drains in the streets. A lot of the water is recaptured and is then recycled for further use. So thankfully that water will be used, and we're expecting more rain. There's some quite pretty pictures of people walking through the Carmel market in Tel Aviv with rain leaking through the roofs everywhere, and, you know, the streets in Tel Aviv looking like they'd been converted into rivers. So definitely a significant rainfall, and of course traffic chaos that comes with it, that goes without saying, right?
Absolutely, 100%. I don't know what it is. Add a little bit of water and people forget how to drive. Anthony,
or maybe they just didn't really know how to do it in the first place, and it just gets a little worse with a little water. That's all.
Does this water make its way eventually to the Kinneret?
Well, in the north, obviously, the main water source is the Kinneret. So the water that would be running down from the Galil, from the Galilee, from the Golan Heights will make its way towards the Kinneret for sure. The water that runs down in the coastal plain area will run into one of the aquifers, the coastal aquifers, which captures the water. And obviously, those aquifers are also used as a water source. And then there's an inland aquifer as well. So any water that runs down in the inland area will run into an inland aquifer. So all of this water is really directed to the various water sources that are available. Three main ones, as I mentioned, the Kinneret in the north, and the coastal aquifer and the inland aquifer, both of which are used as sources of water for Israel. And of course, that then gets added to the desalinated water, which is becoming much, much more of an important function in Israeli overall water supply.
Very interesting. Let's move on to some political news. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has warned that Israel may have to operate within Lebanon to clear the threat from Hezbollah. This whole situation with Lebanon scares the hell out of me, Anthony.
Well, it is quite scary, especially when you say like that there are between 120 to 150,000 rockets that Hezbollah has at their disposal to fire towards Israel. That kind of does sound scary. But, you know, we have to rely on our security forces and our army, who we know do a brilliant job and are almost unsurpassed in terms of their ability to gain intelligence on what our enemies are up to. And, of course, we've got very, very good anti-missile systems, which we also will need to rely upon in the event of any conflict with Hezbollah in the north. And, you know, we live relatively calmly in the knowledge that, you know, we do have a good security force and a good army who will take care of us. But, you know, part of the work is to prevent the conflict from happening at all. And really, that was what Prime Minister Netanyahu was talking about when he was briefing foreign ambassadors today on the northern border. A few of the ambassadors who are based in Israel were invited up north, all in their raincoats, to see for themselves some of the work that the IDF is doing with regard to, you know, taking down the Hezbollah infrastructure, which has been all over the news over the last few days, and particularly this main tunnel that has been discovered that comes under the Israeli border. And when I was talking to Howard this morning, we did have this discussion about the fact that things seem to be somewhat coordinated. In other words, the IDF is destroying Hezbollah infrastructure that is within Israeli territory, while the Lebanese government is saying that's okay, we are relatively relaxed with it, because there seems to be some sort of an understanding. I don't know if it's a direct understanding, whether it's just an unspoken understanding, that Israel will not go across the border into Lebanon. However, the words that Prime Minister Netanyahu gave, the speech that he gave to those 25 foreign ambassadors who were in the Upper Galilee today, perhaps contravenes a little bit or goes across what the speculation is. And I feel quite sure that in the event that Israel does try to potentially go across the border and operate in Lebanon, there will certainly be different consequences than those that we can see right now. For now, everybody seems to be kind of living relatively calmly with each other, knowing that Israel is operating on its side of the border, that Hezbollah is staying on the Lebanese side of the border, the Lebanese army is also watching from a distance from southern Lebanon, and everybody is kind of, you know, I would say relatively comfortable with the situation. The moment the IDF has the need to cross over, and you can have no doubt that that would make Israel a much safer place if the IDF was able to operate within Lebanese territory in order to try to destroy the Hezbollah infrastructure that's there, I suspect that that will have completely different consequences. And, you know, we're just waiting to see whether, in fact, the Israeli government decides to authorize that and what the consequences will be. So I don't think that we're going to see that for now. But Prime Minister Netanyahu is certainly laying the groundwork with those foreign ambassadors just to give them the heads up that Israel is certainly giving consideration to that.
Wow. All right. And just before we need to wrap up, the Israeli intelligence agency, the Shin Bet, has arrested a number of Palestinians on charge of smuggling phones and other contraband goods into Israeli prisons. How on earth would they do that?
So it's actually a group of not only Palestinians, but also Arab Israelis who have been responsible for it. And the thing that's so fascinating about this whole story is that these individuals who've been involved in smuggling phones have actually been using drones to get over the prison walls and in a coordinated fashion to drop phones and other contraband goods into the prison in a way that's been kind of prearranged with the prisoners via the phones that they already have. And in fact, this really came to the attention of the security authorities when one of the drones crashed into a wall near the prison. And would you believe that more than 60 phones were found that were being carried by that drone in the package that was being carried by that drone? So that is just an astonishing thing that they would have 60 phones being smuggled into the prison. And if it were not for the fact that the drone actually crashed into the wall, that those 60 phones may well have found their way into the prison. And it makes you wonder how many previous drone drops were actually successful. There was another package that was discovered on a Palestinian Arab who was trying to infiltrate into Israel. He had 8 mobile phones, 5 keyboards, 19 SIM cards on him, which were all being planned to be smuggled into one of the prisons to get to the security prisoners in that prison. So clearly a lot of coordination going. And the only reason that these communication devices would be needed in the prison is to allow those prisoners to coordinate further terror attacks. So we have to understand that this is a major security threat, and so a big breakthrough for the Shin Bet in arresting these individuals.
Wow. Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it this week. Thank you very, very much, and thank you for standing in at such short notice for Rolene Marks, and wish you Shabbat Shalom, Chag Chanukah Sameach, and look forward to, I hope it's not too long before we get to speak again.
Well, I wish, first of all, that Rolene will have a refuah shlema, that she'll feel better. I hope you guys will have a great weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and of course, a Chanukah Sameach. And of course, you know, we'll talk from time to time, and listeners out there, of course, welcome to be in touch with me if they're interested to hear anything in particular, and to tune in the mornings if they wish to do that too.
Thank you so much, Anthony Reich. God bless. And you can also go and check out his blog. Anthony does a blog. It's called Comments from the Edge. Go and check it out.